When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is an early show. Chapman's got some family in town, and we're going hiking through Muir Woods today. So I had to jump on early because I've been wanting to get to this show for a minute now. And, you know, the topics that we're going to hit, you know, whenever I do my solo off-season shows, which this is 1,145 episode of the 49ers Rush Podcast. I want to say thank you to everybody for making this opportunity possible. But I want to focus on Brock. I know a lot of the off-season content, once we get to this time, is based on speculation. And I wanted to step back, and I got to say shout-out to my man Aaron R. for giving me this idea through an email. And I want to spend time talking about where Brock can be even better in 2024. Now, again, as we move forward with this conversation, understand, if I could sign up right now and say you get a carbon copy of Brock Purdy's production and everything from the 2023 season to 2024, I'm signing on that dotted line, absolutely not waiting a second. He was incredible. The things that Brock Purdy was able to accomplish, I mean, even in the Super Bowl, that dude came off the field four times in overtime in the fourth quarter and had the lead every single time. Every single time he walked off the field. But Patrick Mahomes, you know, that's the way it goes. But you look across just what Brock has accomplished in a year and a half. We're not far removed from, again, one of my favorite regular season game experiences in my life. A week 13 game against the Miami Dolphins at home at Levi's just in 2022. Jimmy Garoppolo gets hurt, and it's just like, oh, man, I go get my drinks because I'm just like, oh, here it goes. And Brock comes back and just does Brock things. That game was so fun and just decimated, completely destroyed, all-out blitz after all-out blitz after all-out blitz, and just showed that he belongs. So in a year and a half, and I understand quarterback wins are not necessarily just a quarterback trait, but at the end of the day, there's winning quarterbacks and there's losing quarterbacks. Yeah, it's 22 starters on both teams. It's more than that. But Brock Purdy's gone 17-4. In the regular season. That's insane. In a year and a half. Is he on a great team? Yeah. Does he have a great coaching staff? Yes. But I'll take that 17-4 over any other quarterback during that time with this team. He's the best we got. And I freaking love this dude. So we're going to talk a little bit about what he was able to accomplish last year, which, you know, just revisit some of those stats, some of those numbers, some of those metrics that made his year so special. But then we're going to look forward. And as we conclude every single episode with during the offseason, we'll throw in some nostalgia. We got a fun one. Who was the best number 39 in 49ers franchise history? Spoiler alert, that number is retired. Pretty easy answer there, which, man, I had an absolute blast digging into this one. Only three players ever wore the number 39 for the 49ers franchise. So very limited, you know, selection that we can go there. But yeah, if you know who the best number 39 is, throw that up in the chat. I'm just curious to see if you guys know who it is without me saying it, but hopefully y'all do. Shout out to all the hashtag CCs, the countdown crew, Charles, my man. What's up, Mike? Philip, what's up in the house? I love it, man. Whenever I go live at different times, it's funny because there's certain names that show up in the live chat that I recognize. What's up, Max? We got Steven Collin. My man, Tim Ford. Hey, what's up, brother? Good to see you. It's been a fun Longhorn Day weekend. I don't know if you guys have had the opportunity to catch any of the message boards. I'm a Longhorn fan. A&M loses, you know, the College World Series baseball, and then they lose their head coach, and now they've lost all of their players, and Aggie's meltdown, Aggie tears, is just a wonderful thing. So, Tim, shout out, my friend. We got Peanut Jeff, Michael, Mosquito Killer. Appreciate you guys. Oh, what's up, Yatsik? Appreciate Jason. What's up, John? Two live shows in a row. Boom. Appreciate you and all the fellow faithful. We're still paying attention to the dead period. Yeah, and like, I understand my live shows may have stepped back a little bit, but man, we're doing our 90-man roster countdown. We're already 32 episodes in. Like, those aren't live shows, but that takes a lot of time, a lot of prep, a lot of research. Shout out to the whole team that helps me over there. But, you know, we just try to refocus because I don't know. I don't have, like, core tenets of what we're about here. But the one thing I don't want to do is what somebody else is doing. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do the aggregation. I don't want to do the speculation on Brandon Ayuk's media post. Not that those are bad things. They're not bad things. They're fun things, and I check them out sometimes too. I want to figure out, okay, what does this fan base need or want that's not being met? And so I want to direct my energy and efforts there. A lot of times it does not reward myself financially, but that's not why I do that. That's not why I do this. I do this because I love this. I do this because this is a passion. Thankfully, through goodness, we're through 8 years now, I've been able to feed and support my family, which has been awesome. What's up, Devin? Another great dude in the chat. What's up? Which has been awesome. But most of my financial compensation comes through the 49ers Rush, our Patreon channel, all those things. And so if you want to support that, then guess what? Head over there, the 49ersrush.com. And tonight, I'm excited, we have our Jerry Rice tier Zoom hangout, 5:30 p.m. Pacific time. Come hang out with us. It's going to be a blast. We're going to talk, you know, offseason. We're going to talk draft. We're going to talk Brock Purdy. We're going to talk schedule. We're going to talk all kinds of fun stuff. We'll get into some nostalgia. And so we do this once a month, not to mention all the breakdown videos and all that stuff that's up there. We got our undrafted free agent series, all 22 breakdowns going on right now. So you can go sign up. And as soon as you sign up, 7-day free trial, check it out. See if you like it. Cancel, free cost. No worries. But that's how I feed the family. This is awesome. And I just want to say thank you guys for everybody showing up, supporting. Oh, my man Tim Ford. Yeah, number 39, Hurry and Hugh McElhinney. That's right. One of my favorite things when doing research for Hugh McElhinney was all the nicknames. It reminded me of Apollo Creed, the Master of Disaster, you know, where they just list all of his names, all those different things. But yeah, the King, Hurrying Hugh, Hustling Hugh, Hurricane Hugh, he got them all. King Henry, I think, is cool. You know, we think of Derrick Henry, he does the crown thing, and his friends do the crown thing, his teammates, whenever he scores a touchdown. Not the original. But we'll talk more about that later. Now, let's go to my man, Aaron R. This is the question he sent me that sent me down a rabbit hole, and I'm very thankful. Aaron says, Brock Purdy is the only reason I've been able to cope with coming up short. Again, I feel you. How can he get better? Last year, he stopped rolling out to his left, but what's next? Stepping up in the pocket more, calling his own protections. What do we have to look forward to? Okay. So that was the question that inspired this whole episode. Thank you, Aaron. You're incredible. Dude's like, when he emails me, I'm like, all right, I got to pay attention because he just sets up great questions and great shows. So let's look back first. Let's look at what Brock's done, especially just last year. Then let's look forward and try to pay attention to what are some ways that we could see some adjustments? What are some ways we could see some improvements to Brock Purdy in 2024? Now, last year, you could argue the best quarterback season, regular season for sure, of any 49ers quarterback in the history of this franchise. And we're talking Joe Montana. We're talking Steve Young. We're talking greats. Jeff Garcia. You want to throw Jimmy G in there. Colin Kaepernick. Like, there are studs. Alex Smith. Like, Y.A. Tittle. John Brody. Like, it's up there. Now, I understand the inflation of the passing game throughout NFL history continues. And so, yeah, it's a little bit different. But the efficiency was just incredible. Now, you talk about number one, he was the best deep passing quarterback. Kyle Shanahan's system, usually, you're one of the lowest yard, you know, air yards, ADOT, average depth of target quarterbacks in the NFL. That's just what it is. Nope. Number one deep passing quarterback by several metrics. He had the most deep passing touchdowns in the NFL. He had the best adjusted completion percentage in the NFL. He had some of the fewest interceptions and turnover worthy plays on deep pass. I mean, dude was just balling out. And again, you got to remember the 49ers throw less than almost any team in the NFL. Like bottom three every year. They're a running team. But now you mix that with the deep passing, that's where it gets crazy. Now, number one in yards per attempt, that's a Kyle Shanahan stat. And to prove that it's a Kyle Shanahan stat, the top three quarterbacks last year in yards per attempted pass were Brock Purdy 1, C.J. Stroud 2, Tua Tagovailoa 3, all part of the Shanahan scheme, right? With Slowick, with McDaniel, and now with Shanahan, right? But... Brock Purdy was a full yard above the others. Brock Purdy had 9.2 yards per pass attempt last year. CJ Stroud, 8.1. CJ Stroud, 8.2. Tua, 8.1. So, like, those guys are so close, a full yard, 0.1. I mean, it's incredible. The gap between 1 and 2 is equivalent to the gap between 2 and 9. Like, Brock Purdy was by himself in that. Number one passer rating. Obviously gets third in MVP votes. Oh, sorry, fourth. No, he was third. Yeah, he was third in MVP votes. Like, it's incredible. It is absolutely incredible what he accomplished last year. Now, people listening to this are like, yeah, but you didn't win at all. You didn't win at all. And that's got to factor into it. It really, really has to, because you're right. You didn't come home with the ring. So yeah, I can think of five better quarterback seasons for the 49ers whenever you include the Super Bowl. That's just the way it is. Did you win it all? We did not. So that's got to factor into it. But when you look at playoffs, this dude already has four playoff wins in a year and a half. Let me just put this into perspective just a little bit. Hugh McElhinney, who we're going to talk about later, he's in the Hall of Fame, retired number for the 49ers. This dude played in two playoff games his entire career. He played for a long time. He played for a long, 11, 12, 13 years? This dude played in two playoff games. He was a part of the million-dollar backfield where all four, that's right, there were four people in the backfield, the quarterback and three, or the two halfbacks and the fullback in the middle. All of them are in the Hall of Fame. All of them.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This dude played two playoff games. Brock Purdy already has four playoff wins. I understand. Quarterback might not be a winning stat for you. Don't care. Then don't bring it. If quarterbacks aren't a win stat for you, then don't bring up the Super Bowl. You can't have this and not that, right? And again, if you think, I'm not saying that anybody's saying this, you did not lose that Super Bowl because of Brock Purdy. Mm-mm. That dude, again, was fire. Whenever other people were letting him down repeatedly, that dude was unbelievable throughout the playoff stretch, all those things. Now, his four playoff wins, guess what? This is what's crazy. The only quarterbacks in the entire NFL that are still active that have more playoff wins, victories, than Brock Purdy, Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, that troll, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen. Just five. There's five quarterbacks. This dude's been playing for a year and a half. He's tied with Matt Stafford been playing forever. And Jared Goff, been playing for a long time. So that's the company he keeps. And he's close. He's one behind Burrow and Allen. A couple behind. He's about halfway to Russell Wilson. But he's done it in a year and a half. That's what's so crazy to me. Like, and it's not like these are easy feats. No. These are difficult challenges. And one of his playoff losses was because he got hurt on the first freaking series. You know, you saw what happened to the Eagles the next time they played, right? Game was over in the third quarter. Blew him out. What's up, Jeremy? He says, people don't realize how hard those stats are. It's incredible what he's accomplished. It's just nuts. You can talk about the last pick in the draft. You could talk about like, 6 foot, nothing, whatever else. Don't care. Don't have arm strength. Don't care. None of that matters. It's crazy what he's done in such a short amount of time. And for the people that say, system quarterback, yeah, you're surrounded by all this, blah, 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 blah. Why don't you say that for Jalen Hurts? Look who he's throwing to. Why don't you say that for Joe Burrow? Look who that dude's throwing to. Like, talk about Tua. You can go talk about that with a lot of quarterbacks in the NFL. How was the system and the production before? How was it after? Before he showed up, after he showed up. And you talk about the 49ers. What are the 49ers doing? Well, we're not going to protect them. We're not drafting offensive linemen. We're not touching that. You drafted one third rounder, Dominique Pooney, in the last 2 years. That's it. That's the only offensive line help he's getting. No. We're going to get you playmakers. Why? Because we think he can distribute the ball the way that you want it done. I don't know. I really feel like it's like, I don't know, those letter networks and offshoot shows of people who haven't played or coached or whatever. Not that playing or coaching makes you worthy of talking football, but like the talking heads on those medias that don't even watch football, they come up with these types of terms and people run with them, and I hate it. Like, if you're in, nobody talks about system quarterbacks in the coaching world. That's not a thing. That's not like that's not a negative. I don't even understand why that is a thing. And all that it is basically, I can't come up with a way to describe why I don't like this quarterback. So this is just something you throw out there, and it's like a blanket, whatever, because you can't really tear it down, or you can't defend it, because it's not real. It's not a real thing. Every quarterback plays within a system. There's not one offensive coordinator play caller that doesn't have a system. Everything is a system. It's just what it is. And so it's just one of those things that, like, whenever I hear people say that, like, whether it's on TV, radio, show, YouTube, whatever else, I'm just like, -5 intellect points. Yeah, you're not. This is not going to be a conversation that can bear fruit. It's just not. And it's not necessarily their fault. It's the system. There we go. It's the system in which they operate on. They are system content creators. Oh man, I hate myself for saying that, but that's okay. What's up, Thomas, my man? He says, you know, the thing that scares me is losing your debut Super Bowl seems to be psychological damaging to a quarterback's psyche. Only 3 quarterbacks have ever won after losing their first. Yeah, I get that. You look at Brock Purdy, that dude, he's Patrick Bateman. And I mean that in the best way. Looks like Lee Harvey Oswald. I know people get upset whenever they say that, but like, that doesn't matter. That's just like a joke point. But like, this dude is not normal whenever it comes to what happens in his brain bucket. It's different. The dude is just stone cold. My favorite reference is whenever, I need to pull the video, the tweet. I have it somewhere, but he's taking a picture with his family. And I think it was before the Tom Brady Bucks game. I think it was before the Tom Brady game where I think we beat him like 35-7 or something. And he was pulled in the third quarter. He's taking a picture with his family. He's got his smile. He's got his helmet off, and everybody's like crowded in on the end of the end zone. They take the picture and he's smiling. And as soon as the camera's down, he's like, bye. And his face just goes from smile to just stone cold, like, kill. And like, that's just who this kid is. Now, yeah, you can talk about Dan Marino. You can talk about all these other quarterbacks that it's happened to, but I don't know. I'm not discounting this kid, and he is still young, and he's got a very viable team and coaching staff surrounding him. Yeah, you got to overcome extreme odds. Does that mean he's going to win a Super Bowl this year or next year? I don't know. But this kid's got 10 more years minimum left in him. And with the way the NFL has translated, shifted into protecting quarterbacks, I mean, look, you got Kirk Cousins, you got Aaron Rodgers, you got Stafford, you got all these guys playing well in past their mid-30s. Let's see, what is Brock Purdy now? He's 24 years old. Kid's 24. He'll be 24 at the start of the season. A lot of the quarterbacks that were drafted this year were 25. Like, he's younger than rookies. Yeah, a lot of that's because of COVID and that 6 year of eligibility. You got the redshirt year, you got the COVID year. But dude should have been drafted this year. Should have been drafted this year. But Thomas, you're right. That's not a, you know, what it is. I like this. Chip, he says, bought Purdy, running the new NVDA processor, high level, head on his shoulders. I love that. Chip, I appreciate that, man. That's a good comment. Bought Purdy. I like that. Right here, Chris, system quarterback, game manager equals the emperor's new clothes. 100%. That's, God, well said, man. Oh, don't worry. The intelligent people can see the clothes. But you can't break that down. So that's why you're out there walking naked without your facts. That's just what it is. What's up, JP, my man? Great to see you as always. So there's that. Now, let's transition now and let's focus on next year. Why? Number one, why? Why should we see an improvement? Why should we expect an improvement? And what those improvements could look like? And this is just my opinion based on research, based on watching every single play multiple times, based on all the breakdowns that we've done, based on the Shanahan and whatever scheme and everything that's going on, based on the people around him. Number one, you've got to start with, this is his first offseason. His first offseason as quarterback number one. His rookie year, he was quarterback 4, beat out quarterback 3, got that number 3 roster spot. Then everybody got hurt, the Miami game, which I talked about. Last year, had the UCI surgery repair. He had Sam Darnold, Trey Lance, and Brandon Allen getting snaps. He was getting, one, he was throwing 2 days off one day, all through training camp. And he couldn't even throw during OTAs or minicamp, so he missed all those. Yes, he was in the meetings, but there's rehab and there's training. Those aren't the same. Those are not the same thing. My fat self, let's go a little peek behind the John Chapman curtain here. I've lost, I think I'm down about 27 pounds since football season. I've got a ways to go, but I've lost a lot of weight. And there's two phases. One, whenever you get overweight and all that stuff and you start training, you don't get to go out there and do like, what was that, Insanity and P90X right off the bat. No. You got to get yourself in shape to train. It takes a while. Yeah, strain my calf a couple times, whatever else. And once you do that, gosh, it's just you're setting everything back 2 weeks. Because now you're not running. Now you're not doing, you know, plyometrics, all that stuff. You've got to build it up to that. You're not working on the things that are going to get your goals where you want to do it. It's the same thing in football. Man, if you're not practicing, you're rehabbing. And you talk about guys like Cameron Latu, Drake Jackson, you know, these guys, Kalia Davis, that you're expecting a lot from. They couldn't practice. They couldn't do OTAs. They couldn't do minicamp. Charvarius Ward, George Kittle. Like, it's different for the long vets. That's a little different. But they're not doing football stuff. They're in football meetings. They're working the mental. That's cool. But the physical's not there. It's not there. And that's an issue. That's all Brock Purdy was doing during OTAs and minicamp. And that's all Brock Purdy was doing through one-third of the training camp practices. And then, even then, they weren't sure Brock was going to be ready, so Trey Lance and Sam Darnold were getting reps with the ones. And they had Brock on a pitch count. So even the two-thirds of the training camp practices out there, he still wasn't getting the full workload. You get to the preseason games, he wasn't really out there. So now this year, 100%, Every single first rep is going just to Brock Purdy for the first time of his life. And that is huge. That changes everything. That changes everything. And so, I don't know. I just think that that is so important. And now he has a foundation. He's 2 years in, year and a half in, really. 2 years in the system. But the first half, he was in the system up to that Miami game. He was just running scout team. He was just out there willing and dealing backyard football, playing other people's plays. He's only been working in the Shanahan system for a year and a half since that Miami game. He's been firing nonstop, but now he's starting to understand. Now he's starting to get where it's supposed to go. Probably his best trait is his processing power. Brian Griese recently had a quote. I'm going to summarize it. Probably one of the fastest processors I've ever seen in the NFL. Brian Griese knows a lot about football. He was drafted to replace John Elway, right? That dude did a lot of stuff. Then he went down to Miami. It was one of the guys that, you know, took over after Marino. Like, he's been around the block just a little bit. He kind of knows what he's talking about. You're talking about your guy, but, you know, it's what it is. But I think that's huge. Now, on top of that, Brock Purdy has made very little dollars. Like, this dude has not made money in the NFL. I put out this tweet. Oh, man. Let's see if I can find it. I'm dumb. You know, it was all four of the cap hits from the NFC West this year. And it's staggering. I'm still scrolling. I know it's on here somewhere. Goodness. Come on, John Chapman. Here we go. The NFC West starting quarterback cap hits for 2024 season. Stafford, $49 million. Kyler Murray, $49 million. Both of those, there's like a couple $100,000 difference there. Geno Smith, $26 million. Brock Purdy, $1 million. That's the cap hit against the team this year. Now, Brock Purdy, I believe in contract year players. Now, again, I know somebody's listening to this like, well, it's not his contract year. It's the end of his third year. Next year would be his fourth year. That is correct. However, the CBA, you are not allowed to restructure a rookie-based contract until after 3 years have been completed. That's why I call this a contract year. Yes, he has a fourth year coming up that's already under contract, and that's huge for spreading out the cap. That's going to be gigantic. Brock Purdy will still have a low cap here for 3 years after this year. There's 4 years this year. Then the next 3 years will be low cap year. I'm telling you right now. Look at Jalen Hurts deal. Look at Lamar Jackson deal. Look at who's Goldilocks, the Chargers, Herbert's deal. Like that, the Niners are going to push back those cap deals to keep this team together as long as they can. But my point is this. Brock's already built an incredible resume. All he's got to do is just follow up. You mimic what you did last year or improve at all? Woo, woo. You're talking $55 million plus per year, which doesn't really matter. I wish people paid attention to total guarantees way more. Total guarantees divided by year by contract than the big number that's put out by the agents and Adam Schefter and Ian Rappaport. That's not that important. The important number is total guarantees divided by absolute years. That's what's important. Now, that will never be the focus because you got to get out a calculator and you got to look at it. And there's guarantees and there's total guarantees. So like that's even confusing and people aren't going to go through that. I understand that. It's easier to say he got $55 million. It's Fugazi, right? That's what that is. What the total guarantee is divided by the years and the salary cap implications built into that, that's huge. That's why you look at like Kyler Murray, man, $49 million. His contract's one of the worst contracts in sports. I would argue the two worst contracts in the NFL right now, Deshaun Watson, I think he's got three consecutive years because they 100% guaranteed his deal because whenever he was going through all that sexual assault, whatever, and like they sold their soul to get that dude, they 100% guaranteed that deal. And so now he has three consecutive years of $63 million cap hits, 100% guaranteed. Like That's the worst contract in sports to one of the worst people in sports. But whatever. The second worst contract in the NFL is Kyler Murray. You look at how they built that. They can't get out of that deal. Now, and again, maybe Kyler Murray goes out and has an MVP season and whatever else and lives up to it. But he hasn't done it yet. That dude can't play through the bye week. So we'll see. I can't ride roller coasters. Can't play through the bye week. There's a lot of Kyler Murray stuff out there that's terrible. I do not like Kyler Murray at all. What's up, Uncle Salty? How we doing, man? Glad to see you, brother. Now, let's go back to just where Purdy is and why I think there's more improvement to come. The contract year is huge. He's already got the fastest processor, right? Also, this is 100% his team right now. Last year, probably like 80%, but the injury, man, what's going to happen there? You know, Trey Lance was still on the team. You paid Sam Darnold a lot of money. It was just like, can he recover from this? I get that. Now, that's in the rear view. What Brock Purdy says goes. If Brock Purdy tells Ayuk to do something, it's done. If Brock Purdy tells Debo or Trent, it's done. Like, he's the voice. He's the quarterback. He's established, and he has already got the skins on the wall, which is crazy at 24 years old. We talked about the 4 playoff wins. We talked about, you know, MVP voting. We talked about, like, he's the quarterback, and two, again, when Brock Purdy talks, you listen. This is 100% his. I don't think we could say that last year. I think we all wanted it to be, but the injury cast a little bit of shadow. Man, what if Trey Lance comes out and balls out, whatever else, and like Sam Darnold, they paid him a lot of money. He's a top 3 pick. But like, no. Whatever doubt could have been mustered, not saying there was much, but I think there was a little bit, that's gone.
I am so excited to announce our new platform launched, the49ersrush.com. We've been active on Patreon for years, and we're still going to keep that community going, but the49ersrush.com has everything Patreon offers and a bunch more. You want to watch player breakdowns? Guess what? You click that. It's filtered based on players. You want to see Javon Hargrave, what he brings, some CMC tape broken down, Ayuk, Jair Brown. We've got hundreds and hundreds of tapes on. Now, you want football 101. You want to learn scheme? Guess what? We've got every single offensive, defensive, special team snap. Head over to the49ersrush.com, sign up, join the community, and plus we got a 7-day free trial. So
Brock Purdy. 100%. This is his. Talk about in the huddle. Talk about on the line of scrimmage. And that's where I want to see the biggest improvement. I want to see way more audibles. If I could say, like, okay, John Chapman, all right, here, let's do a video game analogy, right? Like, you get to pick, go back to old Madden, you get to pick which players you get to train and which drills to improve which skills. I'm telling you right now, at the line of scrimmage, hot reads, can audibles, all that stuff. That's what I want. If I could give Brock just more up here, brain bucket, like, right? That's where I want more Brock. You can talk about, you know, metrics and downfield pass and whatever. No. I want to win before the snap. Before the snap. Now, I don't think that will necessarily translate to better Brock Purdy stats. I think it will translate to better Christian McCaffrey stats and better offensive line production and fewer offensive line miscues. That's where this team could use help. Christian McCaffrey was unbelievable. Yeah, obviously offensive player of the year, all that stuff. But I hate to tell you this. There's more out there. Run blocking was not good last year. Was not good. You know, with the change from McGlinchey to McKivitz is a better pass blocker, probably equivalent, but you lose a little bit in the run blocking game. And McGlinchey was great in the run blocking game. That's where he got paid. But you lost a little bit there. Jake Brindle was terrible run blocking last year. Maybe not terrible, but definitely below par. Whenever you watch the tape, very below par. He keeps 5-yard runs from becoming 15-yard runs on the regular. He can get there, just can't sustain the block. So what I'm saying is, You get more of those audibles into running plays. That's a huge win because I already told you, Brock Purdy was the number one deep passing quarterback in the NFL last year. Number one. That's not debatable. Nobody's going to debate that. The stats, the video, the film, the whatever it is, most touchdown passes, highest adjusted completion percentage, fewest turnover-worthy plays, like, and they don't throw the ball that much. So if you're going to keep loading the box, that's cool. He's already proven he can take the top off. I think we're going to see a lot more two high safeties, and I want to check two more runs. I want to check to more screens. I want to check to more delayed handoffs, whatever. I don't care. That's what I want. And that's going to show up for others. You know, Brock Purdy was under pressure, 245 dropbacks last season. He had 618 dropbacks total, pressured on 245. That's 40%, 39.6%, but 40% he was under pressure. That's terrible. That's not good. That is not good. Now, if you drop that number, whenever you know a pressure's coming and you can call, you get out. Now, Brock Purdy's great versus pressure. I'm not trying to take away all that. But make life a little easier on your tackle, Colton McKivitz. Make life a little bit easier on Aaron Banks. Make life easier. How do you do that? Check out of those plays. Live with those 2 to 3 yard gains against all-out blitzes and whatever else. Get rid of the sacks. That's huge. Brock Purdy was sacked more than he should have been. He had 28 sacks last year. Not terrible. That's 25th in the NFL. All right. Not bad. But if you just change from 28 to 22, that's 6 less sacks. That drops you to 34th most sacked quarterback. Now you're out of starting quarterback sack range. You see what I'm saying? Like, if you could just cut back, that's 6 drives that will garner points more than likely if you don't take a sack. I think the NFL rate, I saw some number, it was in the 80%. When there's a sack on a drive, there's an 80-plus percent chance no points are registered on that drive. Sacks are just so demoralizing. So if you can just escape some of those, and I think you do that at the line of scrimmage. Do that at the line of scrimmage. That's what I want to see. Now also, this one's huge. Brock been in that gym more than John Chapman has. He rocked up now. You can see it. Again, big difference between rehabbing and training. His first offseason throughout the draft, you got pro days, combine, draft, signing your contract. Don't work out too hard. You get injured before you sign the contract, you're in trouble. All right, now go on this Mr. Irrelevant tour. All right, now you got, like, you're not training. You are preparing for the draft. You're preparing for a 40-yard dash. You're preparing for a 3-cone. You're doing all that stuff. Not to say that's not important, but you're not doing what needs to be done to be an NFL quarterback, sad as it might be. Now, last year, obviously the injury, this his first time. Dude just got married. He's looking freaking jacked out there, baby. I think that matters. I really, really do. Because he's a smaller quarterback. Yeah, he's team quads. But he's not a big dude. What'd he come in at? 6'1", 220? Yeah, he's built. I'm guessing he's probably at about 228 right now. Dude's getting big. And I think that that could translate into, one, playing longer, absorbing hits. Not that you designed that. I don't want to design that. But I do want to say I wouldn't mind him scrambling more. Not necessarily call quarterback runs and what, that's all I'm saying. I'm saying the rollout plays where Brock Purdy gets mad crazy. I want to see him scramble more. I want to see him run forward more. You look at what he did last year in the regular season. He averaged 9 rushing yards per game in 2023, the regular season. In the playoffs, 24.7. Think about some of those key comeback wins versus the Packers, versus the Lions, and versus Kansas City. It was with his feet. I think that's an added element. I'm not wanting to take more hits, but I am wanting him to get upfield just a little bit more. And I think a lot of 2023 was, look, dude, don't get hurt. Don't get hurt. Don't get hurt. Protect the elbow. That's in the past now. This dude looks like he's been working out with Clubber Lang. You know what I'm saying? Oh, is that my second? That's my second Rocky reference. There we go. Oh, yeah, I got to keep it going, man. I was raised on Rocky movies. Sorry. My bad. I love Rocky movies. But again, I don't want design runs. I don't want, you know, quarterback reads and all that stuff. No. But on some of those bootlegs, on some of those scrambles, on some of the busted coverages or whatever, or busted protections, look, dude, he can escape. He's got that quick area burst. Get upfield with those legs a little bit. I'm telling you right now, in some of those early games, I'm going to be taking the over on Brock Purdy rush yards. It's just, we made some money on that one last year. So I'm just telling you. It's what it is. So I think those are some of the easier things that I could put my finger on. You know, I want more control at the line of scrimmage. This dude's been in the offense now for a year and a half straight. I want him to recognize coverages, blitz packages, all that stuff. And he's been blitzed more than almost any quarterback since he came in. But the defensive coordinators have not respected this kid, and he's made them all pay. Time to win up here. That's what I want to see. That's where I'm at. Sorry, I went off on a little tangent. I haven't looked at the comments in a minute. Let me scroll back up, man. Appreciate you guys. Thank you so much. Michael B. Yeah, he's going to be so much more efficient than he already was, which he had one of the most efficient seasons in the NFL last year. And I'm with you, Michael. 100% Bronson. Kyler Murray and Geno Smith nowhere near worth the money. I agree. That Geno Smith deal, gosh, I hope he plays for Seattle Seahawks forever. Not a great quarterback. Just not a great quarterback. Anyway, that's what it is. Oh, what's up, Slick? Hit that like, y'all. Yeah, if you don't mind, if you're watching live, hit the like button. Hit the subscribe button. That helps us out. If you are listening through, you know, Spotify or Apple, whatever, reviews always help us out. That bumps us up in the algorithm. I don't usually ask those things too often, but if you've got time, just put 5 stars, hashtag CC or whatever you want to put, constructive, whatever, very beneficial. I'd appreciate that. So thank you guys. Yeah, right here. Observe. I'm with you. Brock with an actual O-line can't freaking wait. I do think that this offensive line is going to be better than we were last year because we have way more depth. We have way more continuity. We didn't transfer. I'm curious about this one. Let me look this up. When did John Feliciano step into the starting role last year? Because whenever he did that, he only started 7 games last year. Oops, wrong button. That ain't it. And whenever he did step in, everything changed. I will continue to say this. John Feliciano is our second best offensive lineman. And whenever he got hurt, the Super Bowl, that's when it changed. It really is. There and Dre Greenlaw. Yeah, Feliciano didn't start until after the bye week when we played Jacksonville. And that's when, golly, we went on the, you know, we're coming off of 3 straight losses. Bye week, we put in Feliciano. That's the Jacksonville game, 34-3. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 straight wins. That dude changed some things up for us. He's good. So our offensive line's better. There's more continuity. That's huge. You know, obviously, everybody wanted, you know, more linemen drafted, but it's what we got, and we're going to move forward with what it is. Salty, I don't know what Purdy needs to do to finally get some respect. He gets a lot of respect from football people. He really does. It's the talking heads on shows that don't watch football. And you know, I don't even want to put their names out there, but like a lot of those people on like Fox Sports 1 and ESPN don't watch football. They get notes handed to them from an assistant and they go out and debate like their life depended on it. They don't know crap about football. They don't watch football. They just know what's going to piss people off. Okay, say this. And they go say that. Yeah, it's what it is. Right here, Thomas says, you know, I was looking at the Watson yesterday by chance. I didn't realize Browns were 5-1 when he played. Yeah, I mean, the Browns have, I would say, the best defense in the NFL. And they've got a lot of, you know, especially when Nick Chubb's healthy, like they've got a good O-line. They've got it. Like Brown's got a good roster. This is kind of their last year before they're going to have to make a lot of cost cutting measures for sure. Kawa Chipto. I like your name, Chipto. Once Brock is able to throw the nine, he will be elite. His arm strength should be better this year. It's not uncommon for arms to get stronger year two after the UCL. I think I said UCI. I think you're right. Yeah, Brock throws a catchable deep ball. We don't have a lot of guys that are just straight burners. Debo can't do that role. Kittle kind of can, but from the inside, it's different. Ayuk can. Cowie 100% can. I don't believe Pearsall can yet. I think the speed's there, but you never saw that ever at Florida. You saw a couple slot fades. That's not a nine. But, that's one thing I want to see, Pearsall's development. But Cowing can. Cowing, that dude can fly. Danny Gray can. I'm just saying. You want the nine, Danny Gray's your guy. What's up, Mick? How we doing, man? Appreciate you, brother. Uncle Salty, Brock is the baby-faced assassin of the NFL. Yes, 100%. I love that, man. Right here, do you think Jake Moody will get better this year? I hope so. More consistent, a little less, you know, kicks that just go 20 yards the wrong way. Kickoffs, too. Yeah, I'm curious to see if he's going to be handling kickoffs if you go to Mitch Wisnowski. Yeah, Oscar, Jake was 81% last year, needs to get up to the 90s. I would say my goal would be 85% for Jake. You know, you're talking field goal accuracy percentage, I'm pretty sure. If he could just have a slight tick up, confidence is all I want. He's got the leg to make the long field goals. That's huge. But yeah, 85% would be my expected line. 90 would be incredible. But he's a sophomore. You know, it's his second year. Vince, what's up, brother? Says CC a little late. Always on time, bro. Always on time. We'll see what that is. Right here, Yacek. Third-year Shanahan quarterbacks are much improved. Ooh, I have not. That makes sense. That's when, I'm pretty sure that's when Matt Ryan won his MVP. Why not? It's time. I love that. Oscar, ask Goff what it's like to not have McVay in his ear, then needing to call audibles and hot reads and all that stuff clicking down. Yeah, it's different. One, how do I say this? I like Goff. I really do. I think Goff is a great guy. I think he's great for the community. I think he's a good quarterback. However, I don't want to. The dude's got the permanent dumb face award of the NFL. So I'm not sure quick responsive thinking is where he's at. If you pressure Goff, he's the worst quarterback in the NFL. He's not one that thinks on his feet. Dude runs like a baby giraffe. And I'm not trying. Like, I love Goff. I don't mind him. I really don't. But his skill sets are not quick thinking. You go back and watch something about the sunset. He got asked a question on Hard Knocks about the sunset out in, you know, Los Angeles. And dude just looked like the dumbest dude in the world. Anyway, I digress. But hey, man, he's doing something right. Dude's winning playoff games. The city loves him. Probably got like one of the most attractive supermodel wives in the world. So salute to you, Jared Goff. But yeah, it's not everybody's thing. You look at Purdy, processing is his skill. If you put Jared Goff next to Brock Purdy, you're like, yeah, that dude's the NFL quarterback. Jared Goff, 10 out of 10 based on looks. Dude's huge. He's huge. You look at Brock Purdy, how does Brock Purdy win? Processing. What did Brian Greasy say? One of the fastest processors I've ever been around. One of the fast. Oh, Aaron Rubin in a house. Thanks for the question that set up this whole episode. The franchise will depend on Purdy's ability to elevate the talent around him after he gets paid. When you see what he has done with Conley and limited reps, I think Brock will be able to do this. I think so too. And, you know, once he gets paid, I still think there's three more years of low cap hits. You look at where Jalen Hurts and the Eagles are right now. They signed both their wide receivers to extensions this year. They paid another top-tier pass rusher this year. They paid two offensive linemen's top-tier level contracts this year, right? That's 2 years after the Jalen Hurts extension. Like, there's room. There is room for that. Anyway, I got to get going. Let's jump to the second part of this show, because I got to go hiking with the fam. We have Mere Woods. You got like the scheduled thing, and that gets you. Now, if you're going to any games this year, you got to come party with us.
All right. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com is live. Tickets are available for all of our road trips this year. Just go to 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. Click here for tickets. Brings you to our landing page here, and you can see all the events that we're doing. And so once you pick an event, you just click on 49ers Bucks, scroll down. You can see our pre-party. You can see our tailgate. You pick what you want to do there. And right now, the prices are as low as they're ever going to be. They only go up. So we got early bird pricing till we sell a certain number of tickets. You can check out there. You get a QR code ticketing site, which we built ourselves, which I'm so excited about. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. Go party with the faithful. All right, let's do some nostalgia. I'm excited about this one. Number 39, that's what we're up to. The best number 39 ever in 49ers history. There's only three players. Hugh McElhinney got the number retired, but somebody played after him, which I think is interesting. Now, the first one, which there's not much information on, Dave Sparks wore in 1951, he wore 39. Only played 1 year at guard, was drafted in the 15th round, played 8 games. But he was the first to ever wear it. Now, Hugh McElhinney was the second player to wear it, but we're going to wait. So we're going out of chronological order. Eventually, he got the number retired, but it wasn't until after this player, Kermit Alexander, 1963 to 1969, had a 53 AV score over on Pro Football Reference, which is more than respectable. And Kermit, this dude, oh. Freaking awesome, man. I first round pick, number 8 overall out of UCLA. He was the college triple jump champion. Had one Pro Bowl with the 49ers. His best season had 9 interceptions. He was a cornerback in 1968. Started 90 games in 7 years. Incredible. 36 interceptions for the 49ers. Punt, kick returner, all that stuff. He led the NFL in kick return yards in 65. Just did a lot. 2 punt returns for a touchdown. Wish we could get that back. And after the Niners, like, he was great for the Niners, played for a long time, but after the Niners, he's still, this is kind of where he got famous. Perhaps, he goes to plays for the Eagles, and he's, you know, this is a little bit of a negative one, but he's responsible, not responsible. He was the guy that blew out Gale Sayers leg that ended his career, which, you know, terrible. It's football. It's what it is. If Gale Sayers had played in today's time, he could have repaired it, came back, but you know, that ended his. Then Kermit goes on to be on the Lott Impact Trophy committee that picks, you know, the biggest, most impactful defensive player, which is really, really cool. NFLPA named him the Alan Page Community Award winner for his work in the community. He's one of 2 49ers to win the award. Anquan Boldin and Kermit Alexander. Those are the only two. Also in the courtroom, one of the 15 plaintiffs that overturned the Roselle rule. You guys remember Pete Roselle? Which basically created modern day free agency. The old rule under Roselle was if you signed a free agent, you would have to compensate the team you signed him from and you wouldn't know until after a year. So teams stopped signing free agents. They wouldn't do it because, you know, they lose draft picks, money compensation, other players, and they wouldn't know until a year later. So it was an antitrust law. He was one of the 15 players that were member of that to overturn it. This gave players more freedom to change teams afterwards, to get more money afterwards, and all those things, which is a huge positive. So shout out to Kermit. And maybe my favorite thing about him, Kermit wanted to adopt a child from Haiti. Goes down to Haiti to adopt a child. Finds out this kid's got 4 siblings. So what's Kermit do? He adopts all 5, baby. Adopted parents for the win. I know it's not easy, but it's very important. And so absolutely incredible. That's Kermit. Now, once he was done playing in 69, they didn't give his jersey to anybody. And then they retired number 39 in 1971 in honor of Hugh McElhinney. And so they kind of retired a bunch of numbers at once, and they started the 49ers Hall of Fame. And, you know, he's one of the inaugural members and all that. Hugh McElhinney, not Kermit. But it's kind of interesting because usually when you retire a number, nobody wears it after you. But this was before they were retiring numbers, the 49ers. And so Kermit wore it afterwards, even though it was retired for Hugh McElhinney. So let's get to King Henry, baby. I love this dude. It's been fun because, you know, we're just going chronological or numerical order. We started at 0. We're up to 39. A lot of the 30s
are the million-dollar backfield. John Henry Johnson, Joe Perry, Hugh McElhinney. Y.A. Tittle was earlier, but still, he's part of that. Hugh McElhinney was 1952 to 1960. He's an NFL Hall of Famer, 6 Pro Bowls, 2 All-Pros. He's part of the all-1950s decade team. He had his jersey retired after 1971, after Kermit was done with that number. Like I said, part of the million-dollar backfield, all 4 of them made the Hall of Fame, which is crazy. The King is my favorite nickname for him, but Hurry and Henry was probably the more used name. NFL Network, they ran, I found this cool article back. It's so fun digging into this stuff. I feel like I'm like a sleuth. My Encyclopedia Brown, like middle school self, is like, ooh, let's learn. Somebody got that reference, hopefully. NFL Network named him the 4th most elusive running back in NFL history back in 2017. Now, obviously, things changed from there. But the thing that stood out to me most, and you can go look up Hugh McElhinney highlights. There's some on YouTube, and it's incredible. There's no All 22, but it's really, really good. You can't even find All 22 on YouTube nowadays. NFL, take that down. But elusive, man. Like, you had Joe Perry, who was probably the fastest person in the NFL. That dude was your fullback, and he ran straight. Like, A gap, B gap, boom. Just right up the seam. Hugh McElhinney was more, and the reference, I don't know. He was the Reggie Bush type. He was the elusive, cut, run sideways, juke, hop, stiff arm, cut backwards, reverse the fit. That's what he was. He was highlights and electricity and just home runs. So fun. And 1 year, his rookie year, by the way, he had the longest punt return in the NFL for a touchdown. He had the longest rush attempt for a touchdown. And he had the most yards per carry in the NFL. This dude was just a big play waiting to happen. Played with the 49ers for 9 years, 99 games. Missed 9 games in his entire 49ers career. Played a lot. Separated his shoulder 1 year after 6 games. And here's what's crazy. The 49ers were considered at that point to be the NFL favorites. Separated his shoulder. Team fizzled out. So much so, he only played 6 games out of a 12-game season. Still was an All-Pro. Still named All-Pro. Played half the season. Dude was killing it. 50 touchdowns with the 49ers. When he retired, he had the 3rd most all-purpose yards in the NFL, which is incredible. In the Hall of Fame, whenever he was inducted, the quote that the NFL Hall of Fame attributed to him was, Hugh McElhinney was to pro football what Elvis Presley was to rock and roll. The dude was energy and excitement, entertainment. That's what he brought. Did have some controversy attached to his career, which I didn't want to leave out. You know, it's so funny. You talk about, you know, the NIL and college pay and all that stuff and how, oh, it's ruining, blah, blah, blah. Man, you go back. Hugh McElhinney was getting paid at the University of Washington. This is a huge controversy back in the day. Back in, I think it was 2004. Yeah, 2004. He's well along in years. He came back and, you know, did a whole piece about how, yeah, I was getting paid the whole time in college and that he had to take a pay cut to go play for the 49ers. He was getting over $10,000 a year playing for the University of Washington, you know, free cars, free clothes, money given to him, all that stuff, which was illegal. And then he goes to the NFL and his first year makes $7K. So he had to take a pay cut. But it is funny to me when people are like, oh, ruining college football, like all these old hats. And I'm just like, man, you guys, y'all don't remember the Pony Express. You guys don't remember. It was everywhere back in the 50s and 60s and 70s. It was everywhere. It's always been there. It's just brought to the surface now. That's the only difference. It's not like it hasn't been happening. Now it's just up front. And I don't think that that's a bad thing, personally. But yeah, if you're a Hugh McElhinney fan, NIL before the NIL was a thing. Now, even after he was through playing football, broadcast games for the 49ers from 66 to 72. And a little Southern tidbit that I found, he's related to the McElhinney family down in Louisiana. They're the family responsible for creating Tabasco sauce. So that's pretty cool. Passed away in his home in 2022. It said that we're starting to lose some of these 49ers legends, in Henderson, Nevada is where he lived, passed away in his home, which is great, but freaking awesome. And It's fun because when I'm doing this research, and I really hope that this comes across, this is who we are. Like, it is a legacy. Christian McCaffrey and Hugh McElhinney wore the same uniform. Obviously, it's different. Yeah, they're lifetimes apart. I don't care. We are the faithful then. We are the faithful now. That is what life is about. That's what being a fan is about. And so if I could accomplish anything with this show during the offseason, it's to try to get people more excited about the current team, right? That's why we do the 90 series. Every single player gets their own episode, which is ridiculous. And we also do the nostalgia theory, like the looking back. It's both and. And the more you know about Hugh McElhinney, the better 49er fan you are. I believe that. I really, really do believe that. So anyway, you guys are the best. I appreciate I went long. My wife's going to get mad at me. Hopefully not. I'm going to go hiking through Muir Woods. You guys are the best. We got more shows coming up. And again, if you haven't checked out our 90-episode series, Countdown Players, I think we're a third of the way through. We've got about 30 some odd done. We're about to break the 60s into the 50s. So go check that out and appreciate you guys. Thank y'all so much. And until next time, stay strong, faithful.
Find all your 4th of July needs at low prices, all in the Kroger app. Get USDA Choice Bone-In Tender Ribeye Steaks for $7.99 a pound with a digital coupon. Limit 5, then buy 2, get 3 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.